All right, guys, we're talking about UFOs, possibly pride protests that are getting out of hand, and Johnny Depp dumping Disney. Let's get into it. I don't know what that is. It was a very loud, abrasive sound.
Did we go 0 for 3 this week?
We have gone 0 for 3 this week intro fails happening on this computer.
You know, we're a very slim operation here, guys. We have the star of the show who has to manually play the intro card every time we go live, and we just have to nail the timing, and we always have technical issues with it. So.
You know, if everything went smoothly on this show, I wouldn't feel at home anymore. At first, I thought, let's introduce Cam. Cam's in the producer's bay today. At first, I thought Cam was like accidentally pressing a button. That is not what was happening. For the sake of this show, I am going to unplug and replug in the computer to make sure that that hopefully does not happen again when we're playing other videos.
It's only up from here, guys. Happy Friday.
It's only up from here. Happy Friday. I hope you guys are having a fantastic week and that you're going to have an even greater weekend. Let me know in the chat down below, what are your weekend plans? I am going to see Bernadette Peters this weekend. And for those of you who don't know who that is, she is a just world-renowned star in theater. And she's going to be doing a concert here in California that I get to go see, which is so awesome, and I'm excited. Do any of you guys have any interesting weekend plans?
I'm chilling. We were in New Orleans last weekend, and I was in Florida the week before, so we are like chilling this weekend and hopefully doing as little as possible.
Yeah, just nothing, just hanging out, homebodies.
Mm-hmm.
Cam, anything interesting?
Yeah, pretty much same, just hanging out at home.
Okay, well, you might see some UFOs this weekend, guys. This is a big hot topic, and I think people are starting to see things in the sky. We're going to get into these videos that have been now going viral. Hopefully, you can actually listen to them, and we're not going to get that weird freak out in the audio here. This is a video based off of police body cam footage that recorded a supposed UFO crash landing in a Las Vegas backyard. Here we go.
It's almost midnight on May 1st when a Las Vegas Metro police officer's body cam catches this, something flashing low in the sky.
911 emergency.
Minutes later,
there's like an 8-foot person beside it, and another one's inside, and it has big eyes and looking at us.
What?
And it's still there.
Someone calls 911 reporting two large figures in their backyard.
No, I'm so nervous right now.
The 8 News Now investigators obtaining another officer's video as he's sent to the Northwest Valley home.
I have butterflies, bro. Everyone thought I was shooting stars, and these people say there's aliens in their backyard.
I have butterflies, bro. What an interesting response to
By
that.
By now, it's more than an hour after that bright light. Officers meeting up with the caller and his family.
What'd you see?
It was like a big creature.
A big creature?
Yeah, like a long 10 feet tall.
I'm not going to BS you guys. One of my partners said they saw something fall out of the sky too, so that's why I'm kind of curious. Did you see anything land in your backyard? Or?
They see like a big, that's what they say. They see like a big something with light.
What I saw right now, I do believe in it.
Police walk into the backyard to investigate, but Metro blacked out that part of the video because it's considered private property. What's clear? They're taking this call seriously.
Hey, this might sound like a really dumb question, but did you guys see anything fall out of the sky?
Asking others what they saw.
I would normally discount it as nothing. However, seeing as one of my partners said they saw it too, only reason I'm actually investigating it further.
That investigation turning up no concrete answers as of Wednesday. Whatever or whoever fell into that yard, long gone within minutes.
What in the hell is going on? Now, I'm going to be the first to say I really do not care about UFOs. I know there's like this large camp of people who are constantly trying to find unidentified flying objects and talking about aliens and extraterrestrial life. I honestly could not care less, but this story is getting so viral that we're going to talk about it. What I'm even more astounded by is how chill these people were talking about some 8-foot creature that was just chilling in their backyard. They're like, yeah, he's about yay high, about 8 foot, got really big eyes. He's just staring at us. I would be freaking out. But there were differing accounts on this. Somebody said it was an 8-foot tall figure with big eyes in the background, in their backyard. Another person said it was about 10-foot tall. Who knows at this point? You see something fall out of the sky and then, you know, things go haywire from there. But very interesting story. And of course, now everybody's saying this is extraterrestrial life. People are hypothesizing that this UFO dropped and they're like, oh, damn, we dropped our spacecraft, and that this creature came and you know, got it and retrieved it, because they have yet to find what supposedly fell from the sky in that video with all the lights. So any other theories?
The fact that the description kind of fits like the stereotypical movie description of what aliens look like,
right?
And the big eyes and
sus.
Like if you type in alien in your phone, you're going to see the emoji that looks like what they're talking about. So that's kind of like a little sus. But the cop, I will say, did seem to react in a very authentic way. And I saw a news report from like the local news there that they covered this, and the people were like, yeah, the family seemed completely normal. Like you said, like they're not impaired in any kind of way, as in like they're normal people when they went out and talked to them. So I don't know. And then the fact that he said, the cop was like, I don't normally take this seriously, but my partner, who I trust, said that he saw it with his own eyes too.
Right.
And then they got on the body cam footage. So, you know, it's very interesting, to say the least.
It is. Would I want to look into this further? Is this going to launch some sort of conspiratorial extraterrestrial deep dive for me? Absolutely not. But for some, it has. Here's a video from Fox News about the U.S. government being aware of multiple unidentified flying objects and even having them within their own, you know, spaces for research and possibly trying to reverse engineer these UFOs. Let's hear it.
Credible sources, including former high-ranking intel officials, have corroborated to our next guest that the U.S. military is in possession of at least a dozen alien spaceships. A dozen. And reportedly, both our government and private aerospace companies are trying to reverse engineer the ships. One source even said, we're trying to fly these ships. Let's bring in Michael Schellenberger, the founder of Public on Substack. So what are these sources telling you? We got 12 ships. What do these suckers look like, Mike?
Good to be with you, Jesse. Yeah, I mean, the descriptions range from the classic disc shape to the triangular shape to another person described one of the ships as sort of a modified Huey helicopter or deep sea submarine. These are all people that are sane, highly intelligent, in positions to know, and also cleared at very high levels of security clearance. They were very anxious in speaking with me. I protected their identities, didn't even reveal their genders or the institutions that they work for. But they all felt compelled to speak out in response to this whistleblower who you just quoted, who made those extraordinary claims, and they verified the core claims that indeed the U.S. government does have non-human spacecraft.
And what exactly is the U.S. government doing with this spacecraft?
They say that, and it sounds crazy, but it is what they say, that the U.S. government has been working to reverse engineer these technologies for many decades, and that the high levels of security has made that very difficult. One person described an effort to involve a broader set of scientists and engineers to cut through the stovepipes, in this person's language, and that proposal was rejected. It was made through a major aerospace corporation. And, you know, what I would emphasize here is that I think we can't have it both ways. If you think there's nothing there, then you should have no objection to Congress representing the American people and finding out. The claims are that these are real objects and that they exist at military bases and with military contractors. So if they're not there, then nobody should object to people looking, including in unannounced visits. But you can't say that there's nothing there and we shouldn't look. I think that's no longer credible. I mean, as one of the persons said to me, the toothpaste is out of the tube.
So that's what they have going on. And now Congress is apparently saying, we are going to investigate this. We're going to find out what's going on. And we're going to get into these claims of UFOs and, I guess, try to work in tandem with the government to get a look at these unidentified flying objects. To me, I have to just reemphasize, could not care less. They've been apparently doing this for decades. It just feels like an interesting distraction, I guess, if you care about aliens and extraterrestrial life, which I'm fully willing to grant that there's a great possibility that extraterrestrial life does exist. Does it change my day-to-day outlook? Not that much. Am I minimizing?
I just got to read someone in the chat, sinister looking kid said Michael Schellenberger just went from the Twitter files to the X-Files. So very good, yeah. Which is great because I've actually been watching the X-Files and everything that's going on right now is kind of feeling like the X-Files in the sense that the things keep happening and there's always new stories to cover and new things to investigate, but you never really get any closer to the answers and the truth. And I feel like everything that we're seeing now with the Vegas story with Schellenberger and these new leaks and so-called revelations, they're not really leading us toward anything definitive that we're like, okay, they produced an alien body that they've, you know, that they said they found and here it is right in front of us. Here's the evidence. And you know, Schellenberger's like, they haven't released it. They haven't recently any info on the alien's gender, which I'm like, are we going to start having debates over alien gender now? Or are they going to have to choose their gender? I mean, I don't know. It's all over the place, but, it does start to feel like we're never going to have the answers. And that's the same way it has felt my entire life. So, I'm not holding my breath with any of this stuff.
Right. I think I'm just going to go about my normal day. This is not sending shockwaves through my thoughts at all. And apparently it's not doing that to Elon Musk either. He responded to that Fox News clip and said, haven't seen anything. And I think I'd know. Now, I don't know if that's true. Anybody could say, you know, I think I know. Of course, he comes from a direct position of authority on things like space, but you don't know what you don't know. So there's always that in relation to this subject matter. We're going to move on. I really don't have anything. I really don't have anything.
It is weird to me that he's not interested. Like, if anyone should be interested, it should be him. But I guess that's just, he thinks he's seen everything there is to see and there's nothing there.
Right.
And I will say there is an incentive for the government not to tell us anything if they think that we're, you know, in an arms race with China and Russia, and maybe they've had stuff fall in their countries and they're trying to reverse engineer the technology. And so are we. So we have to keep everything a secret to protect our national security interests and maintain a competitive advantage, all that.
Right.
So I could see where that would be a thing, but also like, I don't see how just being like, yeah, guys, there's aliens. I don't think if Russia and China probably already know that if there are. So I don't know how that would, you know, betray our competitive advantage or anything, but anyways,
which we recently had spy balloons that people thought were UFOs and stuff like that. So who knows? Literally, who knows? What if this is something from another country that is just made untraceably, and that's why they're saying it doesn't seem like it was made by humans? You know, it really could be anything, and that could be another reason why they're not allowing this information to get out to the public. And it's going to give conspiracy theorists ammo for days. It's going to give UFO theorists ammo for days. People are going to be talking about this for quite some time. To me, it just feels like there's other things to talk about.
If the way we handled the spy balloons is any indication, we are totally screwed with actual UFOs because we did absolutely nothing when it came to a Chinese spy balloon floating across the country.
You know what? When the time pops up for an extraterrestrial invasion, I'll see myself out, you know? I'm not worried about it. At that point, you know what? I've seen enough for my human existence on this earth, and that will have fulfilled my my purpose of living. We're going to move on to much more important news. Johnny Depp is dumping Disney. He's over at Disney. He says he's not going to make another pirate film with this mega corporation because of what they did to him during the Amber Heard allegations. Now, this is not two well-sources of people familiar with Johnny Depp who have stated that this is his stance on the issue, but Disney continues to make remakes and the live-action films, and I imagine that with all of the stuff that they're remaking and redoing, that Pirates of the Caribbean would be on that docket for a film they'd be looking to make. It seems as though if they did venture into that territory, they would be doing so without Captain Jack Sparrow, which I mean, they'll maybe attempt it. I wouldn't put it past them to attempt to do it without the greatest character that people watch the series for. But Johnny Depp says that because they had completely, virtually exiled him and said, we're not going to do any business with you in the wake of unsubstantiated allegations, that he's not going to go back for the money, which is a great thing to see in a time where profits can sway people in any which direction. So he's standing up for himself and saying, you know what, you don't get to beat me down and then I come back to you like some sort of abusive boyfriend. And for that, I congratulate him. He's taken a similar stance just in relation to all the people who have hated on him throughout the back and forth with Amber Heard. Here's a clip from him from the Cannes Film Festival when asked, how does he feel about people who don't want him there?
What would you say to those who think you should not have been here at the festival?
We're talking theoretically about what would I do if there were people who didn't want me to come to the Cannes Film Festival? What if one day they did not allow me, under no circumstances, no matter what, I cannot go to McDonald's for life? Because somewhere, if you got them all in one room, there'd be 39 angry people watching me eat a Big Mac on a loop. Just for fun. Who are they? Why do they care? Some species, some tower of mashed potatoes covering the light of a computer screen, anonymous, with apparently a lot of spare time. I don't think I'm the one who should be worried. I think people should really think about what it's all about, really.
Now, I had to speed up that response. That was played at 1.25 speeds, you can imagine. And it was an interesting way to word what he said. And a lot of you might have heard that and been like confused about what he's saying. But I think to boil it down, he's saying my life should not be dictated by a few very angry people on the internet who will send out tweets from their one follower accounts about how they don't want to see me at the Cannes Film Festival. And it's a similar sentiment to what we heard from Maddie Healy. And for those of you who are unfamiliar with who he is, he recently was maybe dating, maybe not dating Taylor Swift, and the internet freaked out, calling him a racist and an anti-Semite. And he responded by saying, your criticism does not affect me at all. Your attempt to cancel me does not affect me at all. You are either, one, delusional about being angry towards me for things that you've heard on the internet or on a podcast, or two, you're lying about how hurt you are. And I think that's a similar sentiment to what Johnny Depp is saying here. You have a few very vocal, angry people who are able to just spew vitriol at a few individuals and move mountains because these institutions and companies and organizations are so scared of backlash from a very few loud people. And if you actually look into the lives of those very few loud people, Johnny Depp describes them as piles of mashed potatoes covered in the screen light from a laptop or a computer or whatever he said. But what I think he's saying is that if you really dive into that, it's not people who are ever going to patronize your business in the first place. It's not people who are particularly interested in the things that these celebrities do. And in fact, most of the time, it's just individuals who are so consumed with drama and who are chronically online that they just sit on their phone sending out this stuff just sporadically because they are so deeply driven by their emotions and have very little else to value. Now, I don't care if you hate Johnny Depp and you still think he deserves to be implicated in some of the accusations that Amber Heard made. He's a totally separate person who you do not know and is a stranger. It's just so weird to feel so motivated by the actions of people who you really don't know all that well. And to jump to something like trying to ruin their daily lives and their daily work because they want to go to a film festival and do what they've been doing for decades just astounds me. So a weirdly worded response, but a good one.
A good one, yeah. As a celebrity, he already doesn't have the time of day to care about what people think. But also, when you think about everything that he's been through, all the dirty laundry that was dragged out in front of the world to see during the trial, Amber Heard pooping in his bed, that's a lot to live through. That's got to be traumatic. So he just does not have time for the haters and the trolls anymore. And you love to see it, even if it does kind of take him a long time to say things, maybe because of the drugs or whatever. We won't speculate, but
who knows.
Anyways, that was a nice take from him, and this whole thing is nice to see him kind of stick it back to Disney after they kind of jumped the gun with the guilty until proven innocent ethos of the Me Too movement gone overboard and canceled him or you know left him out to dry during the trial and just in the midst of the accusations, and the fact that he can, you know, one, he got $15 million for defamation from the trial, so that's about close to maybe what he would have made for doing this movie. But also, it's just great to see, you know, someone finally stick it to Disney. And what are they going to do, by the way? What are they going to do when they can't make, you know, can't milk another movie out of one of their franchises that's already probably had too many movies going, but they just got nothing going for them these days.
Right. And I don't even personally care too much about Johnny Depp or his role in all of this. I just care about the underlying message to what he said, because there's kind of two responses you can have to a mob of, as he states, what, 39 people coming after you. But you can cower to the things that they're saying and apologize and just placate and take that route. Or you can sort of build a callus and recognize that this is a drop in the ocean compared to the scheme of your life and everything that's going to happen within your personal life, your career, the public life that you have, and you can move on. And I think so many people get triggered or scared by the initial backlash that they get, that they immediately jump to that cowering response because they just want it to be over. It's like ripping off the band-aid and saying, okay, what do I have to do to have this stop now? But what you really have to do is build a callus from hearing from random people, or at the end of the day, just unplug and say, you know, this world does not exist outside of the internet itself, which is so important, I think, especially for young people to hear now, is that so much can be happening on your phone that can dictate the way you feel, your anxiety, your depression, your happiness, your contentment. If you turn it off, it goes away. And then it just becomes random people who you don't know all over the world who are using their time to comment on your life. And doesn't that sound much sadder when it's phrased that way? But when you're on the internet itself and you're logged in and scrolling through everything, it feels like this barrage of like very personal attacks, when at the end of the day, none of it's personal because they don't know you. So
yeah, you might as well stick to your guns and be true to yourself. I think another story that's been popular this week perfectly illustrates what you're talking about. And it's the Blue Jays player, Anthony Bass, a pitcher in the MLB. He shared a post to his story that endorsed the Bud Light and what's the other woke company? A Target boycotts, and then had to come out a couple of days later and with this groveling apology where he just like he was dead inside and did not really believe anything he was saying. Then it got reported that he was selected to catch the first pitch ceremonially for the Pride weekend of the Blue Jays. And then it got reported today that the Blue Jays actually cut him from their roster, and he got booed when he played the other day. And I guess he hasn't been playing very well anyways, but there's a lesson there. You know, you might as well have just stayed true to yourself, and now you sold your soul and you have absolutely nothing to show for it. And that's just a sad situation. So if anything, maybe the Johnny Depp illustrates a little bit that if you just don't care what those people think, those anonymous people on the internet, you can at least, you know, preserve a little bit more of yourself.
Right. I feel very rarely that people, you know, make it to the end of the day and they're like, man, I wish I just apologized, or I wish I just cowered to that group of individuals. How often do you actually hear people say something to that effect? More often than not, it is the exact opposite, that I wish I had stood on, you know, solid ground on the things that I believed, and I wish I had stood up for myself. There's many moments in my life that I can think about that have nothing to do with like wokeness and cancellation that you go, man, I wish I'd stood up for myself. And then you're older and you're like, well, I know better now and I didn't know then. So you cower then. And then you just think back and just, I just wish I had integrity then, or I wish I was courageous then. It's more often than not that is the case. It's not the opposite. We've got to read this super chat from The Inner Light. Says, I'm a former bookseller from Germany. Love your show. Let me recommend a book, The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe by Stephen Novella. Love Tom Sowell's work too, but this is my number one recommendation. I've heard about this book many times, but I've never read it. Have you, Taylor?
I've never heard of it.
Oh, so okay.
That's interesting.
But I have screenshotted it and saved it. There are so many books that I need to read and need to get to. And right
even
now,
even as a Christian, I'm interested in that. So yeah. I may actually pick it up.
And right now I'm reading a whatchamacallit. I'm reading a fiction romance book. So I'm really reading important stuff here. Now let's talk about this recent story revolving around pride and just things that are going on. There are multiple protests. LGBTQ people are protesting. Muslims and Christians are protesting. Regular, average, just non-religious, non-affiliated people are going around and protesting some of the pride stuff that's happening. And it is creating quite a stir, not only here in the United States, but we have a story out of Canada in Ottawa, where woke activists and Antifa thugs face off against a united group of Muslim, Christian, and atheist parents who are fed up with gender theory indoctrination in Ottawa schools. In an unprecedented display of unity, Christian and Muslim communities join hands with concerned parents in Ottawa in opposition to the Ottawa-Carleton District School Board's plan to force non-binary pronouns on all students. Now listen to this, this is fascinating, okay? So apparently the school board had a conundrum, right? And it was arguments over pronouns. Do we use preferred pronouns? Do we not? Whatever. And the directive that they put out is that they advise to use they, them pronouns for all students until their preferred pronouns were expressed. So if you're going to these schools as a student, they're just going to call you they, thems, a grammatically incorrect term, because they have yet to figure out all of the students' preferred pronouns. And of course, this move was viewed as an overreach by many parents and triggered a protest attended by more than 250 individuals. Now you'll see here what seems to be a Muslim mother who is allowing her kids to step on pride flags in the street, and these are pride flags that they have discarded that were hung up in honor of Pride Month. I do want to say I am not in support of children being involved in these protests and in these movements. I say it when I see leftist kids like Greta Thunberg and stuff hopping on stages and speaking about these things. I will say it when I see conservative kids. If we are trying to uplift and shelter kids' innocence, then that involves this sort of stuff too. If you're a parent who cares about what's happening in schools and you don't want your kid being referred to by they, them pronouns, that's fine. Show up to the school board, talk to the administrators, go to a protest if you want. But to have your young kids who we are admitting do not and should not understand this concept, stepping on pride flags in the street, to me, it's not a good look. I don't care if it was the other way around of leftists doing this to something conservative or conservatives doing it to something that is considered woke. For me, I just don't like the look of it. But I think these parents have every right to talk about this policy and say, absolutely not. I do not want my kids, referred to as they, thems in school simply because you've decided to use your ideology rather than your common sense. You know?
Yeah, I generally agree with your take on kids and protests. I have seen what do you think about some of those videos where the kid's reading like the book that was in his school to the school board or whatever, and it's like this super powerful thing? Do you think that is
rather it be a parent? All of it makes me feel uncomfortable because if the very basis of your argument is that kids need to be sheltered from this, you bringing them to a protest that is in direct conflict over these things is actively unsheltering your kids from these concepts. So are you going to take them to a pride protest where you're not explaining why you're there? Or, you know, how is that balancing out for me? And whenever I see kids of this age in particular, which these kids look far younger than, like, I don't know, say 13 or something, where you're actually starting to, like, write things out and develop your stronger, more independent opinions. These kids are far too young. So it just feels like this is just your parents passing down things, which is fine, right? But if you're going to make the argument that kids need to be sheltered from this, this is probably not the thing to do. More often than not, when I see kids who are, like, going to school boards and giving these, like, really profound speeches or whatever, I just think your parent helped you write that, and your parent should be the one who is expressing that to the school board. I know it feels powerful to see children do things, which is why people feel the need to do that or are inspired by those things, but to me it is the exact opposite. If we're arguing that children are not rational enough or don't have the facilities developed to advocate for their gender or tattoos or smoking or whatever, they should not be at school boards fighting over what rules and regulations are written.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Yeah. But it is interesting, like, just how one-sided this the top down the school board is with this stuff. It was like, you know, we're okay, their attempt at a compromise was, okay, we're not going to make you say the preferred pronouns of every child, but you can just call them all they, them. So, like, that's not a compromise. That's still pushing your ideology, your gender pseudoscience, on an entire school system just so that you can feel better and sit on your moral high horse, when a sensible compromise would be to take inventory, take account of what the parents are saying, their rights to raise their own children and inculcate the values that they want to their own kids, and you not violate those boundaries. So a real compromise would have been taking that into account and actually opening up the dialogue and saying, okay, what's a solution that will work for everybody so no one feels like their children are being indoctrinated, whether with religion or with gender pseudoscience religion. Let's only teach things that we can actually ground in, you know, evidence, fact, and that are demonstrably not ideological in nature. And that's really what their job should be. But instead, they thought they were slick to say that it's a compromise to call everyone they, them. So It's interesting that you can see Muslims and Christians uniting together against it, because it's so clear that this is an overreach, as you said in the beginning.
Yeah, it's wild. It's just like, okay, these are two groups that don't typically come together for much at all. And now they're in the streets, you know, arm in arm fighting these things. It's like wokeness is going to bring peace to the Middle East, because it's getting so crazy. It's going to be the unifier of all peoples, because they're going to all come together in agreement that this is just out of hand and out of control. It's very wild.
I tell the story a lot, but I had the chance to sit down with James Lindsay a couple of years ago for PragerU and interview him, and I asked him because I had seen on Twitter the day before I talked to him that, like, he was on Ali Stuckey's podcast, who's a hardcore conservative Christian. And meanwhile, the day before, Richard Dawkins, a famous atheist, had endorsed his book. And I asked him, like, what are you doing at the center of a conservative Christians and atheists? Like, what's the common ground they're finding? And he said, reality. And it's the pursuit of objective truth. I'll never forget what he said. And, like, our friend Colin Wright, a friend of the show, he's a former biologist and former leftist who, I guess he's been liberal, and but his commitment to reality, it made him leave the woke science that he was a part of and the industrial complex of academia, and just start fighting against this gender pseudoscience wherever he could. So it is that it seems like people from a lot of different backgrounds and different, what you wouldn't expect, Muslims and Christians and atheists and Christians and former liberals or whatever, to come together and fight this stuff. But whenever something is threatened by something that is so outside the bounds of the norm and so just rooted in ideology, it's amazing that how people can coalesce together.
Yeah, I'm seeing just more and more people come to the forefront and be like, you know what, I'm done with this. And it's gay people, bi people, even some trans people are being like, I'm sorry, guys, this is being shoved on you. That's not what we wanted. We just wanted to go under the radar. And now all of this stuff is happening and we're over it. I still don't know that the tide is turning, because we keep getting instances like this, but I do always, like, I'm always grappling back and forth with, is this a fringe group of people who are making this happen, or is this really, like, a large portion of our society that truly feels like this is okay? Because more and more I'm seeing people coming out and challenging it and being like, yeah, no, to normal, rational people, this is not okay. But here we are. We're going to talk about this story real quick of a gaming streamer who came forward, not even came forward. He just put out a simple tweet, right, about all this pride stuff that's happening.
I think it was a comment on an Instagram post, wasn't it? Or was it a tweet?
It was a tweet, yeah. Okay, this is sorry. A tweet here. It's we'll read through this. It says, an anti-LGBT protesters attack pro-LGBT demonstrators outside of Glendale, California school board meeting, which what you saw in Ottawa with those kids, similar stuff is happening here in California, in Glendale, as people are arguing over this stuff as well. Somebody responds to that tweet and said, this happened four blocks from my Overwatch League apartment. Americans are in a sad place right now. Let people love who they love and live your own life. To which this guy, Nick Merckx is his handle, responded, they should leave little children alone. That's the real issue. So this tweet would go on to cause a lot of problem. They should leave little children alone. That's the real issue. So it's not even a stance on being pro or anti-LGBT, nothing like that. All he's saying is maybe little children should not be involved in this conversation. Now, here is the response that this gets. From Charlie Intel, it says, it appears Activision has removed the Nick Merckx bundle from the Warzone and MW2 store this evening.
Modern Warfare 2.
Modern Warfare 2.
The name of the game.
Okay, yeah. Perfect. Got it. Activision has not commented on why it has been removed, but the removal of his bundle comes a day after Nick Merckx's recent comments about the LGBTQ plus community. Due to recent events, we have removed Nick Merckx's operator bundle from the Modern Warfare 2 and Warzone store. We are focused on celebrating pride with our employees and our communities, Call of Duty responded. Dude, just imagine, all he's saying is maybe we should leave this, you know, away from children. Maybe we shouldn't have these arguments in front of children. And they're like, nope, we're gonna remove your bundle simply because you said we should protect children. Crazy.
Yeah, it's the way that the article characterizes it, or way that the media would characterize it, as his comments about the LGBTQ community. That wasn't even a comment about LGBTQ community. He literally commented about children.
Yep.
And them not being involved in a certain conversation. It could have been, it did happen to be in reference to that conversation, but you know, the point that he's making is that this is inappropriate for children to talk about. And maybe we should, he didn't even say it like that. He just said, we should protect children. That should be utterly non-controversial, but it is controversial to people who believe that they need to inculcate a certain set of values to children, and they don't care. They think that you are not the right people to tell your children how to think about the world and how to think about gender and how to think about sexuality, and that they're enlightened, and they do not accept neutrality as a position that is acceptable. It is on the one, you know, their way or the highway. And it's just crazy to see that people who think like this are even in the halls of the gaming industry and pulling the levers there, and so much so that something like this can happen. It's
right.
Just wild.
And then of all Call of Duty, to respond that, of all games, of all gaming accounts, have you heard the way that men speak to each other while they play this game? Have you heard? If you want to talk about anti-LGBT, just go in one of those lobbies and hear the way that they're speaking to one another. They're the ones taking a stance for celebrating pride this month. Are you kidding me? Which, again, leads me to believe that a number of people got really upset about the tweet. They reach out to these gaming companies and say, you guys need to do something about this. And then they don't take the callous route and go, you know what, I can deal with a few people being mad at this. They take the coward route and they say, you know what, as a great show of pride, we're going to take down this guy's bundles, which presumably he's making profit off of, I would imagine. So we're going to cut a line of income possibly for this guy. Crazy. Crazy. But here we are.
It's manufactured outrage.
It is.
They were like, when... So I don't know if you knew this, actually. I went to the board meeting in Glendale, uh-huh, with Aldo, and there outside were the Revolutionary Communists of California.
Oh my gosh.
Doing the basic, like, you're oppressed, now become a communist if you don't want to be oppressed trope.
Oh.
every
time. There were some crazy videos that came out of that whole protest that was happening in Glendale. You guys were getting shouted at and people were like blowing air horns and stuff. Just wild what these people are going to do. And it's a very small handful of people who are able to dictate what happens. And then it becomes a cycle of forced behavior, because now this guy is going to make the judgment of, okay, if I want to keep money, if I want to keep income, I have to decide whether or not to stand for my morals and values or to just not say anything on the subject anymore. So we'll see what happens with that. But that was an immediate and swift response from these gaming companies on a tweet that should have not gotten anywhere near as much controversy as it got. Now more people now more people are just going to hear his message, and a very short one. They should leave little children alone. That's the real issue. Wow.
Yeah, and they're not going to leave us alone. And I think this signal, or this story, is a signal that, you know, you can have the most should be utterly non-controversial opinions about things, but you're either going to have to be completely silent about them, or you're going to have to just toe the line and pretend that you believe things you do not believe. Because this is just yet another example in the world in which we live, the Orwellian situation, where if you do not pay lip service to the correct ideology, then you are going to be a target of the powers that be, that will wield whatever influence they can to coerce you into either being silent or pretending like you agree with something that you don't. And we're all going to have to make that decision. I like how Amala phrased it: either be a coward or develop that callus and just be like, you know what, I'm going to face the consequences of staying true to myself and you know, living not by lies, as the book says. And I'm not going to be a coward. We all have to make that decision from the get-go, because we talk about these stories all the time, but it's becoming more imminent, I think, in everyday life. Whether you're a parent, whether you're out in the workplace yourself, or if you're in school, it's going to come to you, and just be ready.
Absolutely. And a lot of you guys are hopping in the chat right now, and you're saying that he made a response on YouTube and that he's standing by what he said. So
come on.
Fantastic. That's a big win for this, because just imagine if it had been the opposite. I think that's great. And kudos to him, because guess what? People are going to come out of the woodworks and they're going to want to support him. And they're going to realize that it's a completely ridiculous thing to have these bundles taken down for. And everybody knows. Not everybody, but most people know that should not lead to any sort of repercussions, that sort of statement. Now, guys, we're going to get into Super Chats.
Super Chats. All right. I was going to say, speaking of modern warfare, that's kind of what this whole situation feels like.
Doesn't it? This is the modern warfare of our time.
All right. This bunch of super chats today. Thank you, guys. Let's get started with Liam, who's contributing in Great British pounds. So thank you from the UK. What do you think of the right wing pipeline?
I mean, it's such a weird thing for me, right? Because I hear this right wing pipeline, left wing pipeline, whatever. And for those of you who don't know what that means, it's essentially saying that you will go on the internet, and let's say you're like a teenage boy, and you find a video of like Ben Shapiro owning a lib, and then you like that video, and then all of a sudden it sends you Matt Walsh, and then you get Brett Cooper, and then it goes from Matt Walsh and Brett Cooper to Andrew Tate, and suddenly you're watching Andrew Tate and Sneeko, and then you've fallen down this alt-right pipeline, is essentially what they're calling it. What they mean is that you're getting an algorithm that sends you videos that you tend to acknowledge or engage with. So I guess there's a pipeline for everything. Like if you like cat videos on Instagram, that's what it's going to give you. So are you now down a cat obsession pipeline? I just don't get it.
You're a fan of like, you know, Amala, for example, if you get one of your clips, what is going to resonate with you is like the free thinking nature of it, the non-ideological stuff. So if your next video is someone who's, you know, ideological about the manosphere and pushing this, you know, rigid ideas about what it is to be a man and how you should use women and all this stuff, like that's not going to appeal to you.
Right.
So in a lot of ways, the algorithms just serve to have sort of confirmation bias for whatever your interests are. So it's just a silly idea. You remember that whole video that was made about you with the alt-right pipeline or the PragerU being the alt-right pipeline that we reacted to.
Oh my gosh.
I'm going to try to find that link and put it in the chat.
I think her name was like Zoe something, wasn't it?
Zoe
B or something. I forget what her name was. But yeah, she did this whole video about how PragerU is contributing to the alt-right pipeline. I just think that's so funny. I'm just like, you mean the algorithm on these social media apps is working and sending people more of what they want to watch and what they want to engage with? It's not like if you're some random person who doesn't like watching content of this nature, you're going to get like highly recommended my show or PragerU or Ben Shapiro or any of those people. It's just not going to happen. So yeah, I guess that's how I feel about pipelines. Do we need to drum up controversy surrounding a woke pipeline or something like that? No, because that wouldn't make sense now, would it?
The woke pipeline starts in elementary school in Canada.
Right.
And then it ends in any university in the United States.
Yeah, I posted a meme on my Instagram story of this mom and dad, and they're like gonna have a baby, and they're like, what? I forgot what it said. Let me pull it up so I can read it. Is it a boy or a girl? The doctor says, or the woman says, and the doctor says, we'll let our kindergarten teacher decide. Gosh, I just butchered that, but you get it.
You should start a career in stand up. That was great.
Thank you so much.
All right. Daisy says, I saw you in Tubuli. I really love that video. I wish we could have more of that kind of discourse.
Oh, yeah. That was a fun video. I posted it on my community page here on YouTube. If you guys want to, I'll show it on my screen if I can find it. This was a conversation with me and John, who works at Jubilee, which coincidentally is the same name as my boyfriend. But here is this video. It says former conservative and former liberal share their conversion stories. And it was a really fun conversation that we had because I'd gone on the female feminist versus male anti-feminist, and he was on the male feminist side. And we conversed. So that was cool. And we were sort of the two rational people in this Jubilee video, if you guys got to see that. So we came together and had this conversation, and it was very cool, chill, no animosity, and people seemed to like it. So yeah.
So you can watch that original feminist versus anti-feminist video and Amla's reaction to it, which are also on the channel.
Right. I'm just giving you a million recommendations.
Yeah. All you're going to do is binge Amla content all weekend. Brandon Reynolds says, if there are UFOs, no better time for an Independence Day than now. If you know, you know.
Wait, what?
Do you know?
I don't know.
I think he's referencing the Independence Day movie with Will Smith from the 90s.
Never
that
seen
was about it.
It. Never
and so
heard
Independence
of her.
Day is literally coming up. So it's like an alien movie.
Oh, okay.
So
sorry, guys. Didn't get the reference.
You killed two jokes and two questions. That's pretty rough. It's fine. Bubbly Pixie says, hey, y'all.
Love that
hope
name.
Y'all have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you.
I hope so too.
Back at ya.
Tave says, hey, Amla, just wanted to say your conversation with John from Jubilee was an excellent one. As a centrist, I loved both of your viewpoints.
Hey, I love that you guys are catching that video. That is so great. That's awesome. Glad
DJ Khaled, another one. Morgan Longan says, video idea for a collab with Brett Cooper. Amla and Brett react to sports, subject of sports bullcrap here. Sporty McSportington and Sports Brett deserve to be in the sports commentary spotlight.
Bring back Sporty McSportington. Yeah. I think that's the last, but that's the most incomprehensible video that you'll get from the two of us. So I don't know if that's our first project.
That's really funny. We should take like, if there's like a viral clip of something going on, like in the NBA finals or something, and like make you do a voiceover for it of what's going on. Like, oh, he's taking the ball and shooting. And I don't know. I think that would be funny. Just trying to give commentary.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking like I was going to do that with my boyfriend with UFC fights. That would be so fun because I don't know anything about them and he knows a lot, but that would be awesome. Guys, I'm not having a junior moment. The reason I didn't see Independence Day is because I wouldn't typically watch Will Smith or an alien movie. So it's not because I'm young, even though
it's okay. Like, I'm pretty sure you weren't alive when that movie came out. It's crazy because every reference I ever make, Amla knows like more music and movies and everything than me, even though I'm like a decade older. So it's very rare that she doesn't know a reference to something in the 90s.
I'm very annoying to be around when music is playing because I just sing everything that's playing all the time. Taylor's nodding.
That's true.
It's very annoying.
Yeah, we used to play a game where you play me rap songs and I try to guess what the artist is.
Hilarious.
I'd say like Nicki Minaj for every female and like Drake for every male.
Yeah. Tupac for a Kanye song or something.
and then I'd play her like 2000s emo music and try to get you to name Taking Back Sunday or something.
Yeah, no. It's just not happening.
Oh, dear. Okay. Just got sidetracked there. Sorry, guys. Sup, my dude says, I hear that aliens are planning on dumbing down society and committing mass lobotomies by playing the 1975 music through an Earth-sized speaker.
Sup, my dude. I'm going to have to ban you from this channel. I can't take the 1975 slander on this channel.
The disrespect.
And he always slips it in there, man. Very, very good. Very good. I'll allow it.
Well played, sir. Well played. Rush fan 1974 Dave says, love your content. When I hear unapologetic, you are the second thing that comes to mind. The first is Tom McDonald, Hangover Gang Forever.
I don't like Tom McDonald's music. I'm so sorry, guys. I think it's garbo.
Do you not like it or do you dislike it?
Both.
Never mind. Don't answer that. We're going to move on. You like the message. You always say you like the message.
I like the message. I'm just sorry. There's just, as a person who loves rap music, I can't. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Hater. Dixon says, I don't see how anyone believes that the first 1 8-foot man like aliens. What? Oh, that first. I don't see how anyone believes that first one. 8-foot man like aliens. That's ridiculous. It was obviously a couple Bigfoots.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, like, it's just Shaquille O'Neal. It's just Shaq. I don't know. Yummy. Whatever. 8 foot tall, something or other. Gosh.
That's interesting. You guys are creative and funny with some of these super chats today, which I love. So thank you. Nemesis of Starsan says, I am sure the ships are coming from underground with access at the North Pole. There have been reports. Is that like a Santa Claus movie reference or something?
No, I think it's legit. It's legit.
Wow. Okay. That's a new one. There was like an X-Files episode where they found an alien spacecraft like down under sheets of ice in Antarctica or something, and then there was still like alien microorganisms alive and it was like infecting people. It's kind of awesome. Anyways, Natasha Geig says, I need to chill since I get into too many arguments on Instagram about politics. Haha. The double standard and goalpost moving is insane. I love your channel and look forward to all your videos.
Dude, every time I post something on Instagram, y'all are like arguing with random leftists in the comments, and I just see it. I'm just seeing these long like comment threads of you guys going back and forth, which more power to you.
More power to you.
Keep it respectful. Keep it classy.
Hey, if you want to argue more, there's always the Discord as well. You can join the Discord. True. Link is in y'all the description. Active. Steven Sanders says, I'd be interested to know what private companies possibly do you have access and were what private companies possibly do you have access and were they able to profit off and was it out of taxpayer dollars? I wonder which story he's referencing.
Sorry, Steven.
Steven asked another question though. Did you see the footage I sent you of my arrest for not wearing a mask?
It's in my email, I believe. I have to go.
Did make it to you. Okay. We'll check it out, Steven.
Emails.
Thank you.
Bunch of emails.
Sorry, we dropped the ball for you this week, but we got you. Alex Santeas says, hey there, gang. Do you guys think Elon and other AI creators are pushing ChatGPT and AI so much so fast? Maybe because we need that to fight the aliens? Just a question, guys. Don't shoot the messenger.
I'm not going to shoot the messenger. I think Elon is pretty against the stuff that's happening in AI right now and has spoken very openly about the need for it to be highly regulated. So I don't think that's where his mind is at. And on the subject of aliens, he's like, I'm not convinced by these videos that we're seeing, which that's where I'm citing for now. I don't think that people are thinking about alien invasions on the daily.
I'm sure some people who are working on AI also think about aliens. That just seems to be like a Venn diagram that would overlap a little bit. But I don't know. Guys like Elon are trying to slow them down, though. We'll see. Maurice says, I used to feel so lost with politics and I wanted to totally avoid it, but your show helped me to learn to feel confident and free thinking no matter who I watch.
That's awesome. Yeah, we're just chilling here, guys. and whatever things we're talking about, at the end of the day, we're just chilling.
I think you make that a slogan. Yeah. Make that the channel tagline now. At the end of the day, we're just chilling.
I have a little like email blurb that I send you guys every Friday, and I have to fight the urge every Thursday when I write the blurb to just be like, it's been a chill week, guys. I've just been chilling. I feel like I always start it off that way.
Because that Snoop Dogg.
That's truly how I feel internally. Like, even though we're talking about crazy things and there's stuff to go on and things to advocate for, at the end of the day, I'm chilling. So just bring that with you. Bring that philosophical nugget when you approach politics.
Stay chilling.
Stay chilling.
Make a shirt that says that. And if you want to join that email blurb list, by the way, the link is in the description, so you can sign up and get those weekly updates from Amala. And we also make sure you don't miss any new videos. Daniel Turner says, I feel like the left has built their castles out of sand. They have risen fast, but they can easily be dismantled if we stick together.
I hope. Better hope, as Nick Diaz would say. Or Nate Diaz would say. Better hope.
Better hope.
We'll see.
Like BlackRock pours a little bit of concrete on those sand castles.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, maybe it's not sand after all.
Yeah. But I know what you mean. As far as the logic and the arguments,
right.
You're totally right.
Right.
Eliezer Salazar says, Depp defender here. I don't think he's speaking slow because of drugs, but because he's wise and wants to think it over before what he says. I admire it.
I hope, yeah. I hope it's not long-lasting effects of something other than being thoughtful.
Hey, but he still came down on the right side, so we'll give him credit for that.
Exactly. As long as you get to where you're going.
My wife texted me during that story and said it's Johnny Depp's birthday today, so happy birthday.
Hey.
To Johnny Depp.
My birthday is in 7 days. Johnny Depp's on the 9th. Okay. Hey, I didn't know
like
that.
A week away.
It's a week away.
And by the way, I got to say, my wife knew that because it's my father-in-law's birthday today, her dad's birthday. So shout out to you.
Shout out.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Is his name John? Is his name also John? Mm-hmm. Wow. Three Johns.
All the Johns. Oh, that's interesting. All right. Anyways, Fregan Angela says, I don't know if I said that right, but it was fun to say it that way. Fregan. Tell me Johnny Depp don't look like a friggin' beatnik. I don't know what that is.
I've heard the word before. I also don't know what that is. I'm going to Google it.
That's taking a risk to Google it live.
I am going to Google it just not show it live.
Urban Dictionary.
Okay. Let me see. A young person in the 1950s and early 1960s belonging to a subculture associated with the beat generation. Let's see some images. Okay. Like a greaser? Is that what they mean? This is what's
like
popping
rolled
up.
Rolled up white t-shirt with a cigarette in your sleeve type of thing.
Yeah, I mean, seems to be the sentiment of what the through line, kind of. I don't know.
I think I just connected up. Is that why they called the movie Grease? Because it's got greaser guys in it?
I believe so. And they, use a lot of hair grease. Yeah.
I never thought of that before.
Really?
Wow. Never made that
Have
connection.
You read the book The Outsiders?
No.
Great book. Should read it. S.E. Hinton. That's a book recommendation for you guys at home as well. S.E. Hinton's
it's
The
you.
Outsiders. Hey, what can I say? I read every now and then.
I'm shocked that you haven't read that, Taylor.
Am shocked that you haven't, that you have not read that book. It is like a quintessential American literature book.
Look. I'm trying to go back. I was all moving to Brazil and Honduras growing up, so I missed some curriculum in the literature department.
Fair enough. Right, right.
But I'm trying to
like learning
it
Spanish
now.
And
the
French and Portuguese and stuff, and we're here reading something. Books about like greasers and
oh dear.
And soda pop.
This is funny. Pitlin says, Amala, did you get engaged?
Oh.
If so, congratulations.
No, I just put rings on, fingers because I don't care which finger they go on. And that's just the one that it fits on. So that's why that ring was there. I'm not engaged. What a way to just like have the ring and just never announce it. No.
That's funny. Okay. Alex, but you're throwing people off. You kind of ask for it at that point.
I just refuse to just like say that this is a finger that's only going to have a ring on it if somebody asked to put one on. You know what I mean? I'm
almost
gonna
got
use,
a bone to pick with I'm, the tradition.
I'm
guys.
Gonna use the finger space. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. fight the power, fight the patriarchy. I don't know who made up that rule. Is it patriarchy? Who knows?
Who knows?
Okay. Alex again says, hey, Taylor and Scott, which Scott is off today, but he can review this later. Just give it a few months and we'll be playing Halo in real life. Also, when are you guys going to have Amala play Halo on air? Preferably one of the missions with the Flood. That's funny. Play Halo on air.
You guys would not want to watch it. I can't tell you how bad my coordination is when it comes to video games. There was one time when we played that hockey game, Taylor, on your was it on Xbox?
Yep. Oh my God, I forgot about that.
That I played horribly. I literally could not for the life of me get the players to move in the right direction, hit the keys at the right time for them to like hit the puck or anything. It was horrible.
That's what makes it fun to watch. Remember Conan's, like, what was Conan's segment that he did with, like, Marshawn Lynch and people like that, where he was, like, helpless gamer or worst gamer or something like that?
Yeah.
Conan O'Brien used to play with random people, and it was just really funny to watch because it was always a train wreck.
Just, is that entertaining? It's like, it's kind of like watching Worst Cooks in America, which I do like that show, but I just feel like, is that entertaining?
It's like watching the show that I really like and it's really entertaining, but I don't want to do it. Just do it. But
maybe.
Anyway. Yeah, Alex added me on Halo, guys. My gamer tag's Trandall1. So I play every once in a while now on the new Halo Infinite. So you guys can hit me up.
Yeah, go
add
him.
Add me. Jonathan Lee. Oh, this is a $2 one. So, or we're technically not supposed to read it, and it's a very intense question.
Is it? I'm scared.
What are your thoughts on religion?
Gosh, we can't get into that all today. I'm so sorry.
You say you're not religious.
I am not religious. That is the extent to which I can answer that question at the moment without going way deeper. I feel like periodically, like once every 2 to 3 months on this show, we go into that. Because we get new viewers and stuff, but
it happens.
Just not religious,
stay
guys.
Tuned. Just keep watching. That's the solution.
That really is the extent of it. I'm just not religious. That just about sums it up.
So there you go. Monica Leah, what's going on? Says, I remember landline phones from the 80s and 90s. Phones were used only for talking. How would modern time young people cope with circumstances of 80s and 90s? Do they even know what is landline?
I think they do. I think there's, you know, we still got 80s movies circulating and stuff and parents telling the stories of back in my day. So there's that. It would be a rough time if all of a sudden kids couldn't use their phones in the way that they do right now. Rough time.
That's true.
Can't imagine what would happen. Lots of behavioral problems. But eventually you'd think they'd get over the hump and then things would go back to normal.
I grew up with, we had like a corded phone in the kitchen. With like the little, you know, I don't know what you call it, the curly cord. And then throughout the house, you had, there was still landline, but there was cordless phones, you know? And so you turn them on and you could pick up the other one and listen to your sister's conversation and stuff like that. So
I had the cordless ones, the cordless connected phones as well.
You even did? Wow.
Yeah. My grandma had like 4 home phones. So we could just like pick them up.
Perks of grandparents. Yeah. That's funny. All right. Gracie Diekler says, Amala, I'm so excited to make my first live. If you didn't have a social media platform, which profession would you want to be in? Love the podcast so much. Hope y'all have an awesome weekend.
I wanted to be a midwife before this. That was what I was planning to do. It was going to be like nursing school, gain my years of experience, go to midwifery school, you know, do all the testing and get licensed there and then be a midwife because that was the plan. But life had other plans.
That was my plan too, but you know, just barely got steered in another direction.
Right. Maybe in the future, my life will lead me back there because it's still fascinating and something that I'm interested in. So.
All right. Ivan Jeta says, take it from an Afro-descending Portuguese man. Values, African values are very far removed from African American ones. We are not the same.
This is true. There's a deep cultural difference. I thought about reacting today to a video that The Cut did of Truth or Drink with Africans and Black Americans and like having that conversation. Maybe we'll do it next week though. Maybe it'll be a video next week because it was fascinating.
Sounds good. All right. I lost my place because I had to refresh for the new ones. Let's see. Russell Philippe says, I was referred to as they by someone at my college when I clearly look like a girl. I got upset, but I let it slide because I don't want to start some.
Right. You just gotta, you know, you just gotta let it go. Move on. Unlike some people who just take misgendering as an offense that makes them like cry in their car and stuff. At the end of the day, like most people are not trying to actively harm other individuals. I would let that slide as well.
Yeah, it's just crazy that you had to deal with that. I just saw a crazy thing on social media the other day. Someone tweeted a clip of a clipping from a newspaper of like feminists marching in like 1992. And they were mad that people thought they looked like men because they were wearing pants. And so they're like, we're women, we're just wearing pants or something like that. And like how far we've come in 30 years since then.
Yeah.
They're like, we're men is the net what they'd be advocating for now.
Yeah, no, this TikTok video of this girl was like, she was showing what outfit she wears when she has different pronouns. And it was like her she outfits were skirts and dresses and then her they outfits were wearing pants. And it's just so reductive. Like now you're saying if a woman wears pants, like that is a marker for them being more masculine or non-binary or like gender fluid. It's so dumb.
It's literally so undoing dumb. What all actual feminism did.
Right, right.
Great work, everyone. Okay. Brianna Simons says, the people that complained about the post have definitely never played a video game in their life. Haha. On another note, not sure if you are a Doctor Who fans, but have you... Oh, Doctor Who fans. Oh, but okay. Have you guys seen the new villain?
No.
I have not.
I've never even seen anything that has to do with Doctor Who. Sorry, guys.
I know it's like there's multiple iterations of it, right? And there's always like a new person who plays Doctor Who, but it's the same Doctor Who.
I did not know that.
I don't know anything. There must be, is there something woke about the new villain? I don't know. You guys
let us know in the chat down below.
Nicodemus 1984 says, I watched Unwoke. Congrats. It's awesome. My only complaint is now want to see all the 1 hour of interviews you've probably conducted to edit your documentary. I want a mini series of those interviews.
We might post them on this channel. That's exactly what our idea was, because we didn't want to let not even 1 hour interviews, 2 hour interviews go to waste. So we have just so much footage from these people that we went around and interviewed. And there are a few that I would love to put on this channel. So I think we will in the future. So, and if you haven't seen the documentary, it's in the link in the description down below. Go check it out. People have been loving it. Thank you for watching it.
Yeah, thank you. Wyrie's Rhoda says, I want to know your opinion on Melanie Mack.
Don't know who that is. I do not know who that is.
Okay. Well, as she's pulling that up, LAPD SWAT 1 says, if the alien was Alf, the alien from the late 80s TV show, the invasion would be fun.
I guess so. I don't know that alien.
You don't know Alf? I mean, I don't know. I never actually watched Alf, but I know him from like references in other movies and stuff. He's just like this furry little, you know, puppet alien from an 80s show.
It's adorable. Whatever it is.
Yeah.
That is very cute. I was thinking like my mind immediately goes to Third Rock from the Sun. Have you seen that show?
I know of it. I never watched it.
That's a great show that I recommend to you guys. I think it was in the 90s that show came out, about like aliens who are masquerading as humans, and young Joseph Gordon-Levitt's in it. So had a crush on him when I was a kid.
He's in all kinds of random
100%.
Stuff.
100%. Oh, yeah, he is. Very wildly talented guy.
Jenny Castleman says, big fan. Someone told me that the word racism is a white word, therefore people can't be racist to white people. He sent me a definition and it came from the Nazi party. What's your take on that? Thank you.
That is BS. That is BS. You just tell them, no, anybody can be racist. And the fact that you think you can't be racist towards white people is kind of racist. So that's where I'm at on that. And just, you know, give them the old school definition of racism, which is simply thinking that any race is superior or inferior. You are a racist. Simple as that.
Cam, you have like a photographic memory of dictionary definition of racism, don't you? You spit it out one time when we were live on the show. Yeah, you got that
one. What do you got?
I forgot which camera I am. So racism is defined as prejudice, discrimination, or antagonism directed at a person or people based on their membership to a particular racial or ethnic group.
Wow, Cam, boom. Do you have something else you have to tell us? What's going on over there? You got savant syndrome or something? Did you jump to the shallow end of a pool? What's going on there?
GPT over there.
I've just had to like cite it back so many times. It's like
debating people on TikTok.
Yeah,
dude, Cam, I'm gonna drop a bucket of toothpicks on the ground. Tell me how many there are.
Cam, I want to go to Italy next year. Can you put together an itinerary for me and spit it out in 30 seconds? Sure.
What day of the week was I born on, Cam?
Tuesday.
Guys, drop your questions for Cam GPT in the chat. Yeah. Oh, that's hilarious. All right. Emily Kramer says, could you get Blair White on the show?
You guys have asked. I should reach out. I have yet to do so. But maybe down the line.
We've just been killing it so hard with no guests lately.
Exactly.
That we just can't slow down.
We ride it solo.
We're always down to talk to people. Russell Fander says, wasn't there this rumor of members of Congress that got handed special satellite phones and sent to secure places during that UFO announcement?
Dude, they can't even figure out how to use TikTok. Special satellite phones? I doubt it. If they did, honestly, I'm proud. That's how I feel about it. But maybe that is what happened. I don't know. I did not read that story, if I'm going to be non-joking. Okay.
And if there wasn't a rumor, there is now, thanks to you. So I appreciate that. Right. KB Kirst says, hi from Dananda and a fellow leftist. Dananda. At 35, I just had my first baby, a girl. Congrats. And was red-pilled in the wake of her birth by you and Bridget Fetisi. Thank you for keeping me sane on the daily.
Oh, that's crazy. That's every so time cool. I hear actual stories from you guys, it blows my little pea brain. It's crazy. Well, I'm amazed. That's awesome. Thank you so much for watching.
Yeah, thank you for being here. Love hearing those kind of stories. It's our favorite. Ashley E says, hello, college student from Nashville. Shout out to Taylor. Shout out. Hey. It's weird. It's still weird to me that I'm like here, but yeah. Love your show. Saw Anti-Racism Baby last night when I was babysitting. Disappointed but not surprised. Don't worry, Amala, I also like the 1975 You're Not Alone.
Thank you very much. That's the most important message we've gotten today. That you love
that's wild. If you're babysitting for someone and they got Anti-Racist Baby in the house,
so yeah, I'd be like,
I don't know.
Yikes. You just have to leave them do it. That's it,
I guess. Yeah, tear the pages out and put a PragerU book in there instead.
Auto sales.
Otto's tails. The inner light. Amala, in a conversation with Michael Shermer, would make my day. Love Tom McDonald, by the way.
We met Michael Shermer once.
We did. He said he wanted to come on.
Yeah, he did. He wanted to do a 5-minute video or something like that. Oh, yeah. Here. We met him at, what, Freedom Fest or something Freedom like Fest. That. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's a nice guy.
Nice guy.
Maybe.
Fang Yang says, first time catching your show. I'm not much of a political person, but I feel like your spectrum of conservative is the only side that makes sense. Liberal thinker slowly feeling more comfortable on this side versus the left.
Heck yeah. I'm glad that you guys feel welcome here and that we're keeping things chill for you guys.
And hey, we don't like the labels. Our pronouns are free thinker.
Have you seen those TikToks where it's like all the congressmen and senators being like, my pronouns are USA. I want to make one of those so bad. I just haven't done it yet.
My pronouns are 1776.
My pronouns are kiss my ass. It's so cringy and I love it so much. It's like
the dad
cringy.
Jokes of political slogans.
Oh, it's just the worst thing ever. Just the worst.
It's so good. Ice Vice says, or Icy Vice, hey, Amala and Taylor, glad I caught a bit of the live. Love you both and everything you do. Also, Amala, I love your hair like this.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I just got this braided yesterday, so my head hurts a little bit, but we're hanging out.
Got your hairs,
glad you like it.
Nathan Coldus says, I think aliens not existing is as believable as Ellen Page getting gay bashed in WeHo. It is a little sus. Things that are sus. Definitely go in the same bucket.
I haven't read the Ellen Page story or the Elliot Page story or whatever, but we'll see. Maybe I'll do a deep dive into that one.
Yeah. The Inner Light again says, part of my earlier typo, it's the Skeptic's Guide to the Universe, of course.
Yes,
so we got you.
I've got you. I've heard
I'm
that.
Sorry,
book.
I had to
I
give
to...
another super chat.
Yeah, I'm just sorry. Take your money back. Get a refund.
Makeda Records says, hi, Amo and Taylor. I'm a Gen Xer. Aliens sound like Tomorrow War. Hey, what about celibate / abstinent folks? I agree with you on stuff, by the way.
Oh, you're just asking in general how I feel about people who are celibate? Yeah. Cool. I mean, yeah. If that's your what you want to do, I think more power to you. That's I think in today's generation, probably a strong bit of control to exercise with the way our society looks right now. So dope.
I think this generation just calls celibate people ace or asexual.
Oh, yeah. They just call them asexuals, which is not the same.
You get a stripe on the pride flag.
Right. So annoying.
But no, it's not the same thing. Celibate's certainly more of like a principled stand.
Right, so. Right. Good for them.
Anyways, very interesting.
Good for them.
Let's see. Fregan Angela says, you are correct about some people in the community not agreeing with the LGBTQ community. I admit I'm bi myself, but don't associate with them. Thank you for the content. Love it.
Love to hear it. Yeah. Just don't, no need for any communities. I'm not going to go into my rant that I always give, but that's it. No need for it. And good job.
Brock GN2 says, you should see the Apple Fitness Plus Pride Month short. The first week was tame with rainbow LED lights. This week turned it up to a 13 out of 10. Super cringe.
Apple Fitness Plus. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Oh, dear.
I'm scared to Google some of the things you guys said.
We're in
me.
The middle of the virtue signaling Olympics this month, so.
Avert your eyes. Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone's competing for the grandest display of gay.
The grandest display of gay. I'm not seeing anything super
we'll
crazy. I'm just seeing a bunch of rainbows.
To.
Yeah, it might be, but I'll look into that.
Thank you, Brock. GN. The Inner Light again. Captain Sisko alone makes DS9 worth watching. And then there are Major Kira and Garak.
DS9?
Is that a Star Trek? You sent the little Star Trek emoji at the end there.
Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Okay.
That's what it is. Man, I'm learning so much from y'all. Haven't seen a single Star Trek movie. Sorry, guys. No Star Trek, no Star Wars, no Harry Potter, no Transformers, no Lord of the Rings, none of that. Ugh. I'm sorry, guys.
No joy in life. Nothing good.
Nothing.
It's
uncultured
fun.
Swine.
Monica Leah again says, do you know what was internet of the 90s? Do young people know what was internet of the 90s? Its connection was in telephone lines. Modem was 56 KB and had horrible sound.
You know, I didn't experience that personally. So, I'm sorry.
Yep. And if someone picked up the phone while you're on the internet, it cut you off, and then you had to go yell at whoever interrupted your connection and all that stuff.
I've heard the horror stories.
The horror stories.
From the old folks.
And they used to give out the free America Online CD discs to install it on your computer.
Heck
at home
yeah.
At Walmart.
Heck
take like
yeah.
Five of them and have wars throwing them at each other. That's, anyways.
That
was our last super chat. Oh no, last one just came in from Chris the Trucker. Says, first time super chat. I first followed you on TikTok and now on the YouTubes. I'm atheist but lean conservative, and it's great to know other non-religious people are also right thinking.
Oh, that is awesome. Thank you so much for joining and for your first super chat. Welcome to the club. Everybody's welcome here. As long as you're respectful and hanging out with us and keeping it chill. Chill vibes.
Chill vibes.
Guys, that is our show for today. Hope you enjoyed it. Thank you so much for watching. Please like and subscribe. Sign up for my email / newsletter and get other updates on content that we've created throughout the week and other stuff happening at PragerU by going to the link in the description. Watch Unwoke Inc. by going to the link in the description. Separate links, but you should be able to figure that out. Leave a comment down below after the stream. How do you feel about UFOs and extraterrestrial life? Is this something that you believe in? Is it something that needs to be pursued? Should Congress be spending their time investigating this stuff, or should we maybe worry about that pesky debt ceiling? Comment that in the comments once the stream is over. I hope you guys have a fantastic weekend. Do something fun out of the ordinary. I will see you guys next week, Monday. Bye.